Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 472, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 14, A Boxing Bopperoo.
It aired May the 10th be with you, 2003, written by Mark Hoffmeyer, directed by Charlie Haskell. Boxing Bopperoo sounds like a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers ass monster.
Yeah, or like a 1950s high school themed dance.
Gonna take your best girl down to the Bopperoo.
To the boxing Bopperoo.
It might also be a kangaroo themed knockoff sock'em bopper.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You get it at like Five Below.
Yeah.
A boxing Bopperoo.
And you get two punches out of it before it blows up. Because you spent $4 on it. So you get what you deserve. Anyway, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because it's Ninja Storm, and it's good so far.
Asterisk.
There's a couple exceptions. The last two episodes weren't the best ones, but like,
they were fine.
I think the problem is,
my problem with the, I don't even really remember like part four that much, but my problem with part three is that it undoes its own like lore.
Yeah, it pulls a classic WWE and just goes, "Dad, don't worry about any of the other stuff." Yeah, last episode, my big problem was with it was that it didn't need to be part four of anything. It could have been just its own thing. Even those two episodes, I think the problem is that the rest of the season has been so good that the bar is set so high that like any slight is just like much lower because of that, because of what we're used to. Whereas like during Wild Force, like if it would have been like, if there had been like Dookie, you know, we would have been like, basically this is just Wild Force still. So I guess it's all right. Anyway, we're going to go watch Boxing Bopperoo. What a name.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form.
And we're back, and we just watched Boxing Bopperoo, and is the honeymoon over? Or is it just me?
I don't think this episode was bad.
No. I don't think it was bad.
But maybe. I'm a little unenamored with it at this point, I think.
I think what happened is that we got really into the three-person dynamic.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly what happened. Two more guys showed up.
And they added two more guys. And now I'm like, well, I don't dislike, and I don't, like, I like Blake, and I'm coming around to Hunter. And even in this episode, I was like, yeah, I kind of like Hunter now. But I just want everyone else to go away that isn't the three original Rangers for a while, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to that. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is a ghost. that Tumblr hasn't existed in 50 years. HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's the real website. You can go there and listen to old episodes of the show. It's the archives, so we got up through Lost Galaxy there. There's also two classic feeds, Volume 1 and 2. Volume 2 goes up through Terp, and sooner or later they will be updated with more. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Oon Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife and Podbay and Podbaby. Podaroo.com.
The Boxing Podaroo.
It takes all the podcasts
and punches them.
And punches them until they say so many words all the time, nonstop. And even in the show, there's a character who's like, man, I wish this character that the writer of this episode wrote would shut up.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I wish they would shut up, and what did they say?
Yeah.
Which is like, you wrote this.
I don't dislike it We'll save it. BoxingPotteroo.com is nothing. I don't have a joke for that one. But if you want to leave us a rating or review in any of those places, we would really appreciate it. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. If you want to help support the show for as little as $1 a month. And let me tell you, $1 a month adds up. So do not discount that. We'd really appreciate it. I know the times are rough right now. So to everyone who continues supporting us, we really appreciate it. And to those who can't, who had to change their pledge or dip, we completely understand.
Yeah.
It's weird out there right now, y'all. Josh, this is the only episode we have this week.
Yeah.
Because we need to recover from the last one. And then the next one is also going to be a one-off because the week after that's another three-parter. Hooray!
I think that's it, though. I think after that, the most we have is two-parters, which is normal.
There's a couple two-parters, which is like an easy regular week for us. So, Josh, do we have any new reviews?
We have one new April's and Benunu's podcast review.
I was wondering why there was a deep pause.
Because I wanted to make an Apple joke too, damn it.
It's Oon Podcast, Josh. There's no jokes to be made about Oon Podcast. That's Estonian, by the way.
It's by what I'm still going to call an iTunes user, Malevolent Camel.
Okay.
It's 5 stars and is titled A Morphin Good Time.
That's a good title and it's a good number of stars to have.
I'm sending this review from the year 2025 in the SPD jail cell, and I let this be put on my record that this podcast is amazing and makes my work days go by quicker and makes my day every time a new episode pops up in my feed. Thanks for all that you do, guys.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the reason you're put in jail is because you're a malevolent camel and you're probably spitting on everybody. People don't like that.
Just with nothing, just pure hatred.
Just with malice in your heart. But this is a very nice review. Thank you. Hopefully in 5 years, the podcast is still good. And, you know, we don't really let this camel down.
I mean, if it gets bad, then what changes did we make?
I don't know.
Because I think it's a pretty... I mean, no matter who you ask, whether they like it or not, I feel like we're pretty consistent.
I feel like, if anything, we're consistently the two dumbest boys on the internet. We do have a couple new patrons to thank as well. So first up is Cameron S.
Thank you, Cameron.
Next is Tess Does Things.
Thanks, Tess. Hey, keep doing your things.
Yeah, we love that about you.
Yeah.
And finally, Christopher R.
And thank you, Christopher.
Thank you all so much for helping support the show. We really appreciate it. We do have a couple of emails. First up is from Bobby. Bobby says, hey, Morphin Grid. Oh, sorry. The subject of the email is hamsters.
Oh.
Exclamation point. Hey, Morphin Grid. Hope you're all doing well. On the recent episode about Drew McIntyre and his appeal, Jake asked if Hurricane Drew had a hamster, and it does. Only in the Sentai, he was turned into a hamster by the big bad, but rather, he wasn't turned by a big bad, but rather he turned himself into a hamster to evade the big bad. This is while the rest of his students were being killed. Good job, hamster dad. So arguably the worst move a Sensei can make. I'm enjoying Ninja Storm so far, though parts of the design aesthetic premise are a little off. They're all wind, right? But also air, water, and earth, and also animals. I'm enjoying the bad guys, especially Mara. Hope you guys stay safe and healthy during this crazy quarantine times. Thank you, Bobby. I have heard that I think it was on the Discord, someone said that the Sentai mentor is a hamster and that he turned himself into a hamster. And the reason he can't turn himself back into a hamster is because he forgot the magic words.
He can't remember.
He forgot how to do it. So he's stuck a hamster.
I did notice today in the credits of the episode, so spoilers, I guess.
Oh, no, Josh.
Because it says, like, also, it starts with, like, the also starring, like, you got Kelly and, like, stuff
yeah.
in the credits. And it's just Sensei Hamster, like, voice of Sensei Hamster.
It says Sensei Hamster?
Yeah. So we were right. He does not have a proper name. He is just Sensei.
What's up, Sensei Hamster? How's it going? Yeah, I think that I don't think that aesthetic of them is like terribly incongruent. I think it all kind of fits. I think it's mostly just the like the marketing of Power Rangers versus what Sentai gave them. It makes it like feel a little weird because like why would they all be Wind Rangers if one of them is an Air Ranger also, you know?
Yeah, they could have taken a second pass at
just like a minute
at that.
Yeah, it's just one of the weird, and I think it was maybe our worst in the or my worst in the first episode. It's just like the weird marketing decisions they made about a couple things. It's not
they're the Wind Rangers even though each of them represent a different element.
Yeah, and like okay, sure,
and then these are the Thunder Rangers, they both are thunder.
This is Thunder and Thunder Ranger and Ranger Ranger, the Ranger Brothers. So next is from Charles. The subject title is Kendrick's being the Phantom Ranger fixes double invisible. Okay, Charles, you have my attention.
You're on thin ice, Charles.
We know that the Phantom Ranger has the cloaking from his invisible ship. That's Invisible One. Did we know that? Is that how he became invisible? Because I forgot that. I thought he just did it by himself. That's Invisible One. What else can go invisible? Ghosts. What if the second invisibility was just Kendrick's going ghost invisible? I'd imagine that detecting an invisible ghost and a technological cloak would be vastly different, so maybe that's why the second double invisible worked. Hope this helps. Charles.
My question about that is that if a ghost goes invisible, does also their clothes?
Well, ghost clothes is ghost, because when you die, your clothes stay on body.
However, when Kendrick died, she was not wearing a phantom armor?
No, well, that's because she was given the phantom armor by the Morphin Grid.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you put a ghost in a suit of armor and they go invisible, the suit of armor does not.
I feel
go
like
invisible.
No, well, I mean, you know, honestly, who's to tell what, you know, what is and what is not Morphin Grid energy? See, this is the problem. Is even if you think about double invisible for even 1 second, it is a pox on your house and you will never be free of it. And I hate it. I do want to say that I am very into the idea of the Phantom Ranger as a time traveling ghost, kind of quantum leaping its way through Power Rangers stuff, fixing things and like nudging things in certain directions. And it's just like the Morphin Grid's agent to like fix stuff. And like, so maybe it's Kendrick sometimes. Maybe sometimes it's not Kendrick's. Who knows who else it could be?
Anyone.
Anybody.
Could
the
just
cannon,
be the Morphin Grid in a suit.
Maybe. That would also be, you know, something. I don't know if it would be good or bad, but it would be something.
It would be fine if it didn't fall in love.
If it didn't fall in love with a girl and then ghost her and then make her haunt up for her dog.
It's just the nebulous energy. It shouldn't, like, I don't know, it shouldn't fall in love with humans.
I feel like, yeah, maybe there's, so that, maybe that's why it has to be someone in there so it can fall in love. I feel like every headcanon of the Phantom Ranger is better than the actual Phantom Ranger that we got.
Yeah, because it was a half-baked idea that they just put in there.
And that they abandoned
several
times.
And then they brought it. They brought it back for one episode so he could flirt with Cassie again, and then abandoned it again.
And then it showed up at the very end of In Space, but like on another planet doing whatever. It's like, oh, who cares?
And it still was just like, hey, remember? And then, okay. Okay,
and
bye.
Then it left. Phantom Ranger sucks.
That's a damn shame, but I do feel like it's true.
So finally, from Tanner Vogelstein, former guest of the show, our friend, Tanner says, I keep forgetting to do subject titles. Subject titles?
Yeah, subject lines.
Subject line? Subject line. Whatever.
Subjects.
The subject of the
email. Subjects.
Theorizing on killing the Rangers only while morphed, Tanner says, this is a headcanon I've developed about Lothar saying the Rangers can only be killed when they're morphed. So in the webcomic Homestuck, parentheses, all caps, no, I swear it's relevant, come back. Because if I hear the word Homestuck, I immediately try to run away from there. Because it's gobbledygook to me, and I don't want it in my brain. There's a mechanic In the webcomic, there's a mechanic. Is it a game too? What is Homestuck? There's a mechanic where once the characters get to a certain power level, they can only be permanently killed if the death is heroic, a sacrifice or dying while fighting evil, or a sacrifice or dying while fighting evil, for example, or just they've gone rogue and killing them would save lives. I can't imagine rangers needing a just death, but it makes sense that if a ranger were to die, it would have to be heroic. Just and heroic are capitalized for anyone playing the home game. And we know that one of the main things about rangers and the grid itself is a sense of honor with a U, because Tanner is Canadian. Zordon lays out right at the beginning not to escalate things before their opponents. And I don't know if y'all have encountered a situation yet in these seasons, but I know at some point down the road, there are rangers who act selfish enough for their powers to malfunction as a warning to them. I don't think we've seen that, and that sounds very good. I'm into that.
Yeah. The Morphin Grid is just like, hey, if you don't shape up, I'm out. Yeah,
that's your one warning, pal. So it's possible that the grid protects unmorphed rangers because if they were to be assassinated by Zergain in their sleep, then that would be dishonorable. That would be a dishonorable, unheroic death. But if they died while trying to stop Lothar's forces, that would be heroic, and that'd just be the end. And that'd be the end of these teens. Just my two cents. I don't know if this is the idea the writers of the show had, but it's how I'm interpreting it to the best of my abilities. I think it makes sense. I don't think it's like I don't think it's like a lot of headcanons where they're like, I'm making something up and saying it's a headcanon, because there's the tissue there. And I think it also kind of makes sense that if they can't die while unmorphed, then...
Well, I think what the intention is that they could die when they're unmorphed, but the power continues. And so there will be new ninja rangers if that happens. Like, they'll just find new ones. But if you destroy them while morphed, you destroy the power with them.
Yeah, and that is the reason for Power Rangers needing to be morphed to die, I think, more than anything. More than just, like, kill them while they sleep. Because, I mean, if you go all the way back to season one, like, Squat was in Trini's bedroom while she was asleep. He could have, like, cut her head off or something gruesome,
just,
you know?
He
like
just took her toys.
And he just like, I'm gonna take a doll and I'm gonna make it big. And it's gonna put things in bottles.
Man, Tickle Sneezer. I think about Tickle Sneezer a lot more than maybe I should.
I think about Tickle Sneezer probably once a week. But thank you for the email, Tanner. I do think that it makes sense. I think it makes sense.
I agree.
So now that we got all that stuff out of the way, let me find where the hell my notes went. Are you ready to jump in?
Yeah.
We start off on the beach with Hunter and Shane having a barefoot fight. And I say they're having a barefoot fight because the TV show makes certain that you know that these boys don't have shoes on. At least three times, we just get zoom-ins on their feet doing kicks, but there's no shoes on them. They're fighting. They're going kind of hard at it. It seems kind of friendly right now, but it's about to escalate. I forget what happens.
I feel like... They just keep hitting each other until they just, like, get mad for real and start hitting each other.
Yeah, because they're doing, like, a lot of, like counters, too. And so, like, they'll counter one, and then that will, like, bump up the, like, well, I'm madder now that I got now because I got countered. And the other one will counter them.
Yeah,
because they'll bump theirs up.
They're going, like, one for one for a minute, and then they, like, back off. And Shane does a little bit of trash talking. And tells Hunter,
he says,
you gotta cut your losses.
He says, like, cut your losses. And he's like, what losses? And then a second from now, Shane's like, my sister can hit better than you or something like that. So Shane has a sister.
Right. That's what happened. He called Hunter a girl, and Hunter hates that.
And how
so
dare.
Now they're real mad.
So then they start fighting even more. And then Sensei jumps in and, like, hamster kicks the two of them apart.
He just knocks them on their butts.
And he's like, quit it. And they're like, why, Sensei? And he's like, what did I say? And they're like, healthy competition is good, but not at the expense of honor and friendship or something like that. But when they say this, they are dead staring each other and angry. And then they start fighting again, like, right after Sensei said stop it. And so they, like, go to, and Sensei's like, hey, that's it, push-ups. So then they start doing a bunch of push-ups.
But they, like, angrier push-upping at each other.
Yeah, they're trying to out-push-up the other one.
And I think Shane's got pretty good form, but I don't know about Hunter's.
No,
I think it's because he's like trying to do them fast.
I think he's going more for speed than for technique, and you're gonna mess up your muscles. You're gonna
hurt
doing that.
Hurt your little shoulders.
Yeah, you're gonna throw your back out doing that, my man. We cut from there to Stormchargers, where there's a big poster. It's not a poster. It's like a banner. It's like a big banner.
Yeah,
that they finished putting up for the.
Total Trek.
I was like, it's something Trek, and I can't remember. It's basically this, like, Spartan run obstacle course, diathlon thing where you go from, like, one thing to another to another.
Yeah.
It goes from skateboarding to dirt biking to a run.
To a rock climb.
And Tori's there. Tori and Dustin are there because I think Dustin is the one that puts it up. And Tori's like, I would be all over this if they were surfing. And Dustin's like, why? So you could blow everybody out of the water? And she's like, well, yeah.
Duh.
Obviously. What's her name?
Kelly.
I was like, Megan. It's not Megan.
No, that's your new bear villager.
That's my new Animal Crossing villager. I think the actress's name is Megan as well. But she's like, oh, Dustin, Tori, you're out. Dustin, are you gonna do it? And he's like, no, Dustin don't skate. I do not get on skateboards anymore. No, thank you. So then Shane and Hunter come in. Notable for this scene, no Blake. Blake gone. No Blake.
Blake is hardly here. He's only in the episode collectively for like a minute and a half, I think.
He's morphed. He's in, the back half
yes,
of it.
Yes.
But like
the,
unmorphed,
the Navy
he's in
Ranger
like,
yeah. makes an appearance, but Blake barely shows up.
Unmorphed, he's in like... 1 minute, and then again he's in like a couple minutes, but I don't know if he talks at all in those other ones. So he's just like, this is like a Blake Light episode. They come in and they're trash talking each other, and just like in general, because they're both going to sign up for this thing. And so Kelly's like, oh, are you going to sign up individually? You're going to do a team? And they're like, us? No, never, Kelly, shut up. And so then they smack talk each other more. Because that's ridiculous. They, like, write their names down, like, at each other again. Everything is very, like, measuring.
Every single thing is a competition.
Yeah.
It's like you're just writing your name. How do you determine who wins putting your name on a list?
Who put their name first?
Ah.
Got him. We cut up to the spaceship. Mara and Capri are training.
So they're like aggressively signing their names on the thing, and then Tori is like two alpha males in their natural habitat.
Yeah.
And then we smash cut to Foxy boxing on the spaceship.
They're also just real quick before when Kelly's like, are you gonna be a team? I don't remember the wording he says, but he's like, Shane's like, yeah, you have a better chance of seeing me on skate blades or something like that.
He says, yeah, you have a better chance of seeing me on blade skates.
Blade skates. They're called roller blades, my man.
That's not trademarked.
We will also accept aggressive inlines.
Blade skates.
Blade skates.
You narc. You're such a poser, Shane.
Right? So we cut to Foxy boxing, training with Boxing Boparoo, who's a metal kangaroo with like a Wheel of Fortune on his chest.
Yeah, I don't. Can you explain to me what happened? Because maybe you blinked and missed it. But Mara and Capri are Foxy boxing, and mm-hmm. Boparoo is like, "Hey, punch, powerful punch, pickums or whatever." He speaks in alliterations.
So he's in a lot of alliterations. It's a lot of large words that everyone says. A lot of them are made up. Most of them are words. They're just dumb.
Yeah, they don't like either mean what they think, or they add like an extra like ly to the end of it or something.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he hoses them down.
Yeah. So they're
this is the horny portion of the episode.
they're not boxing each other so much as they are training on a punching bag, and Mara's like, oh, I'm so exhausted. Also, they have like the boxing
headgear
on and big boxing gloves, and like Mara's hair looks good, like shooting out of the top of it. Capri's looks like a Kraken from the deep. But like, it's just all like hair braids going all akimbo. But she's like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this anymore. And he's like, you gotta blah, 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 blah. And then he, on his Wheel of Fortune chest, he spins it to, it's basically like a bop it wheel. It's like, soak it. And then it sprays.
And now they are soaked.
And then they get soaked and they're like, oh, and Capri's like, do you know how long it took me to get my hair like this? And Mara's like, oh, my makeup.
About 10 minutes.
And in, right behind them, because they're not in like a separate room. They're just in the main deck. Yeah.
Lothar's right there.
And Lothar's like, oh, I'm so bored of this. I need a plan. Someone give me a plan. And then Mara jumps over and she's like, what if we have the Rangers train with Boxing Bopperoo? They won't last an hour. And he's like, that's what you said. Is that real? or what? Is that a real plan? And she's like, I guess. And he's like, you know, it might work. All right, send him down. But then they get mad at each other again and they start doing like slap fighting with boxing gloves.
Yeah, Capri says something to Mara that was just mean. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
But it was like, those shorts make your butt look fat or something.
Something.
So they start boxing again. I can't believe who wrote this one.
This was Mark Hoffmeyer, I believe.
Well, look, I don't know what it is about Ninja Storm writers showing their hands
of what they're really into.
But this dude got back from spring break and wrote an episode of Power Rangers.
We cut down to the motocross track where Dustin is trying to teach Shane how to motocross, and he's like, "Hey, you don't want to. You're gonna bet not too far forward, but not too, you don't want to lean back. Like you want to be balanced, but go." Shane's not listening. He's like, "Whatever. I just need to do whatever I got to do to beat Hunter at this part." And Dustin's like, "That dude's really good at motocross."
With Shane, I get this like air of cockiness. It's like, I can ride it. Any dummy can ride a dirt bike.
I can ride a dirt bike.
And I feel like we've seen them all ride dirt bikes before, but maybe I'm just making that up.
I mean, there's definitely a whole episode about them getting dirt bikes, like magic ones.
I mean, ride motorcycles as part of their Power Ranger job.
And then at the end of that episode, they were all in like gear because Dustin was like training them how to dirt bike better for when they're using their tsunami cycles. I think maybe this is like how to ride on a track, like how to like take jumps and like land and stuff.
Yeah, that would make
sense. Dustin's like, I got it, and he speeds off and just beefs it real hard immediately. That's what I meant. Dustin would never.
Yeah, no, Dustin can ride a dirt bike.
But yeah, Shane like speeds off and just eats.
He bips it right into a bale of hay, and you can hear a girl be like, "Look out!" But there's no girls in the shot.
She's just right off screen. Don't worry about her. That's Megan. Then we cut to the skate park. So Dustin was helping Shane, trying to help Shane. Blake, not a skateboarder, so he's just watching Hunter do bad. I do want to point out a little. What was Blake wearing? He has like a, I don't know how to describe.
He has
his denim. Is it a denim vest, but on a denim jacket?
It's well, I feel like he had just like a t-shirt on underneath, and then a denim vest with cutoff sleeves. Of course,
that's it. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, and then I don't know if he had shorts or pants on, but they also were like the same color denim.
Yeah, it's a look. I actually think it was a pretty good look. It was weird, but it looked good. And he's like, "Hey, you suck at skateboarding." He's like, "Whatever, I'm gonna do whatever I can to beat Shane." And then he's like, "Okay, bro." And then he goes to skate away, and he just like falls off immediately and shoots a skateboard out. And Blake's like, "Ugh." And then we cut from there to both Hunter and Shane running. They're practicing for their run, and they like round a corner, and they're like talking smack, and they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna beat you because I'm gonna run better," and all that. And they run straight into Boxing Bopperoo, who's there, and being Bopperoo, you know, he's not terrible. Like, I don't think he's worse than like Pun Frog or rhyme, that one rhyming thing. I don't even remember what it was.
This is definitely a like season one ass monster.
For sure. He's like, got, incredibly. Like,
he's a goofy kangaroo that boxes. He's got a gimmick in the way that he speaks.
Yeah. He has a wheel of gimmicks on his chest.
His voice is Yosemite Sam.
It is. What if Yosemite Sam was in Punch-Out? That's Boxing Bopperoo. And he's, so he shows up and he's like, yeah, time to box you to death.
To bits.
Yeah.
Box you to bits with my big bopping boppers. I mean, alliterations are hard when you it's just not try easy. To whip them out.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, Hunter's like, let's morph. She's like, I get to call the morph call. And they're like, he like stops Hunter from morphing. He's like, I do that. And like, no, and, my man.
Hunter even looks at him and is like, really? Like, come on.
So then they, then like, I forget what, like they spin away from an attack and then they call it and they do like the, they like bounce back and forth with their like, Ninja Storm, Thunderstorm, Ranger Form, ha ha. And then they morph and then they start fighting there. I don't remember, this fight happens so weirdly that I don't remember what happens exactly, but I know Boxing Bopperoo like has like a fire thing on his little wheel and he uses that and that like knocks them both away and then he goes to use lightning but Hunter blocks it with his thunder,
his big shield
staff shield thing and shoots it back at him and that hurts him because he has thunder powers and so he's like, well, I've been hit one time, I'm going to leave, and he runs away.
Yeah, the only thing I really remember about this fight is Shane shoots him with his gun. And then he like, and then Hunter gets something in and Shane goes to shoot him with the gun again. And Hunter knocks the gun out of his hand. He's like, you've already tried that.
Yeah. I said, okay, well, okay, let's not de-weapon. Let's not, you know,
unarm your ally.
Maybe that's a bad call. Everybody's making a lot of bad decisions. We cut back to Lothar. Boppin' Bopperoo is Boppin' Bopperoo, Boxing Bopperoo is there.
He's also a Boppin' Bopperoo, I think.
He does, you know, he bops, he boxes.
He's any combination of box and boppin'.
The Boxing Boxeroo. And Lothar hates him. Lothar just hates this guy. And I feel like, so there's part of me that wants to be like, why did you write a character and then have Lothar say, like, this guy sucks and I hate him? Unless the joke is that he sucks and that Lothar hates him. But it feels like someone from higher up was like, you got to make him rhyme in do alliterations. And he's like, okay, I will. But Lothar's going to dunk on him every chance he gets.
Yeah, so Lothar is over all of this, and he says, next person who says a made-up word has to put a dollar in the made-up word jar.
And then Boxing Bopperoo says something, he's like, and he just pulls a jar out and he taps it. He's like, dollar. So then we cut back to some more measuring between Shane and Hunter. I'm gonna level with you. That's the literal sentence I wrote, and I don't know what they were doing.
They're just running.
Are they still running?
They run for until the end of this episode, I think. They're just like on the beach running, and then we watch them in the viewing globe from Ninja Ops at one point, and yeah. They're just like, there they go running again. These two just trying to outrun each other.
Yeah, we cut back and like Tori's like near the viewing globe and she goes and sits down next to Blake and Dustin and they're like, these two need to quit it. Need to get over it. And Dustin's like, sensei, say something smart and sensei like that'll help us get through this. And he's like, sometimes leaders need to, like, the best leaders know when it's time to follow or something like that. And Dustin's like, wow, that's smart.
Dustin's like, this is the smartest dude in the world.
This hamster's so smart.
He's always saying stuff like this. Dude's a genius.
But then we cut back to Dustin and Shane, and they, like, kind of make up. Like, they're sitting on a bench, and Shane's like, nice
that's
running.
Not Dustin, that's Hunter.
I just want the Thunder Rangers to go away for a little while, I guess, is my problem with the episode. I don't even dislike Hunter anymore. I just wish he wasn't here so that we could focus on the other Rangers.
I like the idea that there's, like, oddly, subtly going for where it's the two leaders of their respective teams, the two Red Rangers, are in competition, because the two teams are like supposed to be in competition, but I don't feel like we really get that anymore.
Yeah.
Because now it's just, instead of a team of three and a team of two, it's one team of five. And I feel like a lot of the dynamic that they want to be there still is gone.
Yeah, and like it makes sense because like if they were both their own leaders and now they are all in one group, like who is the leader now? And the answer is still nobody, like nobody. It was before.
Tori is the answer.
Tori! It should just be Tori. So Shane's like, hey, cool running, Hunter. And Hunter's like, what? And he's like, don't get weird on me. I just said it was good. You did good job running. And Hunter's like, yeah, I guess we're always used to being alone. And it's like, okay, well, we're just jumping here now, sure.
Yeah, he's like, Hunter's like, me and Blake are always alone. We're not used to having friends or a sensei. But it's like, you did have a sensei.
You had a
right
sensei.
Right up until you all got captured, you had one.
And like, he died like a week before, like, I guess a, like the day before the episode, the season started. And you were in, I will remind you, the end of the second episode. So, like, you had one, just you weren't alone for a long time. He's like, yeah, well, now you're with us. So, like, we're all a team, et cetera, et cetera. And then Boxing Bopperoo shows up, and I don't know where that is. But I guess he's at the beach.
Oh, back on the ship with the dollar tip jar and everything. They also gave him bigger gloves with spikies on them.
Right. Yes. They upgraded his big hands.
Zergane can just upgrade a monster, I guess.
I guess.
Because Lothar was like, hey, give him bigger punches. And Zergane was like, you got it, and zapped him, and his gloves got, like, big and spiky.
I like that as, like, a thing he can do. I think that's a really good, like, ability for a general to have.
Yeah. We'll see if he ever uses it again. Also, Chubo is not in this at all. I don't think anyone was worried about it, but I did just want to point it out.
I mean, he's in, like, a jar in Mara's room with a hole popped in the top. He's got a stick and a leaf to represent his natural habitat.
He's got that little water bottle that hangs on the side that he's going to do, like, a weird lick slurp to get like the water out.
He's got a nice food pellet. It's like a big Cheeto to eat.
And he poops in the corner. Or his backpack, probably.
Which is much worse. Now his alternate dimension is just going to be full of poop. That's gross. Hey, can I tell you what I hate maybe the most about Ninja Storm so far? Is the idea of little Chupo. So Boxing Bopperoo shows up. They start fighting. They call the rest of the Rangers. The rest of the Rangers morph. They go down to meet them. I will tell you that in this last scene, and the there was like a little break, and it was the same scene in Ninja Ops. We saw Blake for a total of like a minute and a half. No lines.
Always do. Yeah. He's just like watching.
His only line was when he's like, Hunter, you're bad at skating. That was basically it.
Yeah. Then Hunter falls and he goes, oof.
Ooh. And some men, Megan from over there is like, watch out. And then. So they start fighting, and at some point we cut back up to, it's like a weird like fisheye lens shot of Mara, and it's Lothar in the middle and Mara and Capri on the other side, and Zergane's kind of over the shoulder, and Lothar's like, someone tell that kangaroo he owes me $23. He just says like a bunch of nonsense all at once. So he's like Zergane, go down there and help out or whatever. And Mara's like, hey, he's our teacher, shouldn't Or Capri says, like, he's our teacher. Shouldn't we also go? And Lothar's like, hell yeah. I will finally get some peace and quiet for a minute. Go. So they go down to fight. The Rangers do their, like, double weapon attack where they, like, put all their weapons together and they shoot the two different balls and they combine into a big Spencer Gift plasma cannon and blow it up. But it's blocked by a shield. And Mara's like, my shield rules. What's up? And so then Mara and Capri break off to start fighting the Thunder Rangers. And it's actually really dope.
It's pretty good. I really like that Mara and Capri are like these bumbling teens, but can kick your ass.
But they're good at beating ass. Yeah. Yeah. Mara is like, hey, look at my eyes. And then like,
she points to her big bug eyes.
Yeah. And I thought she was going to do some like hypnotism thing. No, she shoots like a laser whip out of it that grabs Blake and like picks him up and hits him on the ground. And then Capri is like bouncing over, like jumping over Hunter, like back and forth. And she like winds up with her right hand and like jabs it with the left. And he's like, that's cheating. And no, man, that's just misdirection.
That is a perfectly viable tactic and the only way I could ever win a fight.
Completely legal. They fight a little more. The Rangers are fighting Boxing Bopperoo. It's not going great. I don't remember what happens, but eventually all the Rangers and the bad guys reconvene. They're like, all right, let's try it again. So they put their weapons together. They go to shoot him again. And Capri's like, if you thought Mara's shield was cool, look at mine. And she puts up the Pokemon move Light Screen. And Tori's like, well, that looks like a strong Light Screen. I don't know if we're going to be able to punch through it. And then Hunter's like, what if we put all of our weapons together?
Yeah, what if we line all five of our guns up in one big, long thing?
One real long gun.
And shoot a brick break out of it and blast through the Light Screen.
And they do that.
They do that. Yeah, as soon as they get them all together, Zergaine, Mara, and Capri are like, oh, that's probably going to work, actually. We're going to go.
We're going to leave. And Bopper's like, oh, my buddy's bounced. Or my buddy's bailed or something like that.
Yeah.
And they shoot and they blow him up. And then I honestly don't remember them. I know they had to send something down.
They do. It cuts back up to their spaceship and Mara and Capri like see the rubble that was Bopperoo on the ground. And they're like, oh, yep. Our teacher. And Capri's like, I'm going to grow him. As she sends the scroll down.
Okay. So they call for their Zords. Oh, at some point. Cam says, we completely jumped past this. I forgot. This is how they got it back. Shane calls Cam, is like, what do we do? And Cam's like, all right, it looks like you can only defeat Bopperoo by reflecting his energy back at him, like what Hunter did earlier, kind of. So if you two combine powers, you'll be able to do it. I'm gonna download you a different sword thing. And then Hunter's like, can you use my energy? And Cam's like, sure.
Yeah, and I guess like, siphon my energy to power up Shane's sword. Because it's not a new sword. It's just Shane's sword, but he zaps Hunter's power into it.
On the front of the sword, there's like this little screen, like a Tamagotchi screen that has like different kanji will pop up depending on what thing he's doing. So like it was blank at the start, and then we got like the super one like 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, and this one, it pops up and it just says Hunter. So the soul of Hunter is in your blade.
So he uses the Hunter soul attack, and that's what knocks him back long, because he like absorbs his lightning and then shoots it back at him, and then they do the whole thing and he blows up. So then they grow, they get in the Zords. There's like 2 seconds of a Zord fight before they're like, Cam, what do we do? And he's like, I'm sending the mini Zord, and so he sends a mini Zord who still sucks.
Yeah, at least this time. It's just to combine them, but I don't. Every time they make the Thunderstorm Megazord, this stupid ass mini Zord is gonna come out and be like, make the little Megazord or whatever.
He comes out, announces, and he's like, I am mini Zord, time to combine.
And it cuts to Shane in the cockpit, who's like, mini Zord is so cool. I hate Shane. What a narc. That dude's a cop.
So. Here's how I would fix Mini Zord, is I would add a third Beetle Ranger, like a yellow Beetle Ranger, right? A yellow Thunder Ranger. And her Zord would be Mini Zord. And now that seems like it sucks because her Zord is only here to combine the two Zords.
And it lives inside of another one.
And it's up inside the other ones. But I feel like that would give Mini Zord a thing, like a reason, and some, like there's a Zord there so you could attach the person to it, right? So wouldn't you be like,
because if it's all American footage, because it's a new Ranger,
yeah,
the like hand stuff that the mini Zord does when they combine could be like a mental link with that new yellow Ranger, right? That like, yeah, they, you see them do it, and then it shows the mini Zord do it instead of the mini Zord saying, I'm the mini Zord and I'm here to combine you into one big Megazord.
Yeah, right. It's like just like Dexter. Like,
I hate him.
So you do that, and then the human side of it, the unmorphed stuff, is the Yellow Ranger is like Tori's new friend or like Dustin's love interest or something like that, and like she's the go-between the two teams,
yeah,
that like, you know, combines them in their personal lives, and so then it carries over to the Zord stuff. And I think that would really work, and it would make it so Mini Zord didn't look at the camera and go, I am Mini Zord, time to make the Super Zord, because of me, Mini Zord, you're welcome. they would die without me, Minizord.
Buy the toy.
Buy my toy, Minizord, me. And I hate him. I just hate him.
Well, Shane loves him.
Well, Shane's a cop. So then we, they combine and kill him immediately. it's the old Power Ranger classic.
I don't even know what happened. Oh, one thing did happen that I wanted to make note of.
Okay.
Before they combined, both of them got serpent swords.
They both did.
Yes, the Thunder Megazord and the Storm Megazord individually both had their own serpent swords.
Huh. Okay.
And then that didn't work, so they got a Minizord, and then they killed him.
And they just blowed him up real
they
quick.
They shot him with 100 guns, I'm assuming, which is just how they kill someone when they did the
Beyblade Gatling gun lion attack. Then we cut to Lothar. Now that Bop-A-Roo's dead, we cut to Lothar going, thank God Bop-A-Roo's dead. I hated that guy so much. And he's like, now it'll finally be quiet around here. I want to listen to him yelling about stuff like Yosemite Sam and boxing. And then in clog Mara and Capri. And they're like, we're clog dancing from Ireland.
Yeah, we love to clog dance now. It's our new hobby. And I feel like we hang on them clog dancing for 5 minutes.
It is a long clog dance. Now, I do have one nit to pick, is that clog dancing and Irish step dancing are not the same. Clog dancing is more of a Dutch thing than I think, anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe there's an Irish version of clog dancing. I don't know.
I mean, it's river dancing, right?
Like, there, yeah. Lothor's ship has a clogging problem, lol.
Ba-da-bam. But this, yeah, it's like a long scene, and it's like shot like it's a concert video for their new clog dancing troupe.
Can these two actresses just clog dance, and this is just like a weird show off?
And they're just like, do it.
And they go out there and they do it. And even Zergane's like, this is kind of fun, and is like kind of clog dancing, but he's in a big rubber suit.
So he can't like move his knees too much.
And Lothar wants to self-destruct his own ship with him in it.
Yeah, and you know, he's getting close to it, it seems like. So then we cut down to the total trek, and it's a montage, sort of. So we get Shane.
Are they trying to misdirect us with this?
Into doing what?
Into thinking that they're competing against each other.
If they are, they're doing a bad job.
Because it starts with Shane doing a skateboard stuff, which I guess is just go up a vert, spin once.
Do a 900, then come down.
And then Hunter rides a dirt bike.
Yep. And like on the sidelines, like Hunter's like, yeah, during Shane's thing. And Shane's like, yeah, during Hunter's thing. But they still have their like number vest thing on.
And they're different numbers.
And then they're running and they run past the mark at the same time. And then they go to the climbing part of it. And they climb up and they both hit the top at the same time. And so they tie. But JK.
Hey, wouldn't it? Before we JK it.
Okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a good lesson if they were still competing individually and they both tie and it was a tie because they're
both
like,
instead
they're both just as good at different things.
Yes,
there's like some overlap with the rock climbing and the running, but then like Shane's really good at the skateboarding, Hunter made up the time in the dirt biking.
Yeah, that would be better. But JK instead, they're on a team.
It's a team, and Kelly's like the winner. And this, it definitely is them trying to misdirect, because she says the winner of the total trek is the team of Hunter and Shane.
I have so many questions about this. Like, is it the same trek?
Were the teams competing against the individuals in the same
thing?
That
seems unfair.
Was it just a team thing the whole time? And but they were like, we're going to sign up for this team trek as individuals because we hate each other.
If it is that if teams and individuals are on the same thing, number one, that's completely unfair because, as we saw, Shane didn't need to dirt bike and Hunter didn't need to skateboard, but they both ran and both climbed. So what are the rules to the Total Trek team version?
There are no rules. It's a Total Trek, baby.
I don't like it.
grab your biggest rival and best friend. And
so then they're holding it, and they, like, hand it to Tori, the big trophy. And then, like, Shane goes in for a hug, and Hunter goes in for a handshake. And then they alternate, and Shane goes in for the handshake, and Hunter goes in for the hug. So they end up doing just a Predator handshake. And then they start, like, arm wrestling in midair doing this. And the camera, like, pushes past their arms to Tori, who's, like, right between, like in the her face is, like, in the crook of Shane's arm. And she's like, well, I guess it's a start. Like, I guess we're getting there. And that's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, Josh, you started.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the best is... What is the best?
The best is Lothar.
Oh, yes.
Just being like, this guy sucks. And the reason I agreed to this plan is so that he would die.
Lothar hating Bopperoo from the jump is very good. I'm going to say the best is the made-up word jar.
Yeah.
Because that is a very good... The joke comes back a couple times.
Mara says something. Like, as soon as it's introduced, Mara says some, like, big words. And Capri is like, put a dollar in this jar. And Mara's like, those words are real. You can look them up. Those are real
words. The worst is the... I'm going to say the Total Trek rules. The rules to the Total Trek.
Yeah, it's just this weird... It's just the reason that they're competing in this episode. Like, it's just to give them, like, an end goal to, like, prove themselves in. But, like, there's no rules.
If it would have just ended with them tying, I think it would have made everything a lot clearer.
Yeah, like, if you start with Shane and he's just, like, totally blowing everyone away at the skateboarding, you don't even need to show Hunter doing the skateboarding. And then you... Because it could be, like, a points thing.
Right. Because, like, it seems like it's a race, but then, like, nobody, like Hunter's not on the skateboard race, which means he doesn't have to participate in that because Shane is his partner. But then why are they both running, and why do they both climb against each other?
I don't know. Who are they competing against? No one else is anywhere in any of this footage.
It doesn't matter. Megan was going to try. She tried showing up, but she got blown out of the water in the dirt bike part, I guess. Probably not. She was at the dirt bike track. I bet she can handle. I bet this fictional invisible character that I am calling Megan can handle herself on a dirt bike. That's the Yellow Ranger. That's the Taupe Ranger.
Yeah, Taupe. She's only ever off screen.
Yeah, it's Megan. She's right over there. Don't worry about her. If anyone would like to draw Megan, please feel free to do so.
It could be anything.
Literally anything you want it to. It just has you want them to look like.
Yeah, she just has to look like 2003. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, you know,
she so has maybe, to be drinking a Sobe.
She's got to have a Sobe life water, maybe a puka shell necklace. And that's basically anything else. Everything else goes.
A chain wallet. Let's put a chain wallet in.
Look, I don't want to art direct too much. you know, go with, follow your heart when you're drawing Megan. Who's the MVP? I'm gonna say it's Tori.
Is it Tori?
I just liked Tori's little asides the whole time. I don't know.
I feel like...
Because I didn't particularly care for Shane or Hunter. Blake didn't do anything.
It's not a Power Ranger. I feel like... Can we do a unit of Mara and Capri?
I think so.
Because I don't feel like one of them... Because, I mean, they definitely just, like, act together almost all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to them.
I think we've bested or MVP'd them before when they were the scientists.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think I will also agree with that. Because they did a lot more than Tori did. Even though the 4 minutes that Tori was on screen, I really liked her. Because, like, right away, she's like, man, I wish this had a surfing part. And then Dustin's like, you would kick ass in the surfing part. She's like, yeah, I would. Duh. Yeah, so them. Now we got to rank it. And Josh, I don't know about you. Huh? I don't know about you, but I think this is the worst single episode so far.
I agree. It's not worse than part three of the four-parter, but since that is all collective, it's definitely the worst standalone episode. I agree.
Yeah, and the first two parts of the four-parter raised it up as high as it did, which is
It's pretty high because, man, yeah. did it just run out of gas halfway.
Yeah, yeah. So coming in at number 9 is Boxing Bopperoo. All right, that's going to do it for us for today.
What's the next one? You still got it?
I do. And I'm not stalling to scroll back down because it shot all the way back up to the top of the page. And the next one's called Pork Chopped.
Uh-oh.
We're going to have a guest on for that one.
Oh.
So that should be a fun time. I've told you this, right? I'm not springing this on you, am I?
I think you... I mean, if you did, it was like early on.
It must have been... It was... Yeah, okay. So that will be Monday. That will be the only episode that week, just like this is the only one this week. So until then, may the power protect you. Excuse me. That's what I think about morphingrid.tumblr.com.